So we left off yesterday. We spoke about the difference between Bishalacham and Tasacham. Even though both were prohibited by the Mishnah, there's a huge difference between them. Lamais, the Bishalacham is still really Osir. And Tasacham, for the most part, is not Osir, unless it's Pas Balabayas. Just as a reminder, if it is Pas Balabayas, if it's a private person, a friend of yours who bakes for you bread, that would be a problem. Sometimes people don't know that. We'll talk a little bit about cooking and cakes in a moment. Sometimes people mess up with that. They'll have a babysitter doing cooking, they're doing baking in the house or something. That could be a potential problem. But if it's pas palter, it's mutter. If it's a bishul of a palter, of a professional cook, that would still be a problem. How do you know what's called pas and what's called bishul? So usually it's pretty straightforward. A piece of chicken is bishul. A loaf of bread is pas. But what about something in the middle? So Tosfos in Masechet Beis quotes two opinions about cookies and cakes. Are they considered to be pasakum or are they considered to be bishalakum? What's the shaila? So on the one hand, the bracha on cookies and cakes is not a motzi. So that makes it sound like it's not really bread, it's not really lechem, and therefore it's closer to the model of bishul. On the other hand, if you would eat enough cookies and cakes, you would recite a motzi on it. It's what's called paseba b'kisnin. It's a snacky kind of a food, and if you have what's called kviya suda, which different opinions how much that means, but bottom line, if you eat an awful lot of cookies and cakes, you would be obligated to wash, to make a motzi, and to bench on it. So now we're not sure what cookies and cakes are. Are they really closer to the model of bishul, and therefore any cookie or cake made by a goy would be a problem? Or can we lump it together in the category of pas, and therefore if it's pas palter, it would be permissible? So Tosfos quotes two opinions about this, and the Ramah is mekel. Remember we said we tend to be pretty lenient about these kinds of halachas. So that's what our minig is. We assume that if a goy bakes you cookies or bakes you cakes, unless it's a private citizen, say if a goyish a babysitter or bakes for you, that would be a problem. But if you go to the store and you buy goyish or baked cookies or bread, cookies or cakes, and obviously the ingredients are all kosher. If the ingredients aren't kosher, if it doesn't have mashkach on it, then it's a much more serious problem. But even if the ingredients are all kosher, it has mashkach on it, so you go and buy Entenmann's cookies. So Entenmann's cookies are kosher, but they are pas akum. So that's okay, because since cookies are treated as pas halacha, therefore the Entenmann's cookies and cakes would be permissible. Therefore, the corollary of that would be that during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, one should not eat those kinds of things, because even though they're technically kosher, but they are pas palter, and we try, lechatchila, not to rely on the leniency of pas palter during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So one should try to stay away from all the goyish brands of cookies and cakes, that even though they have a reputable hashkach on them, unless they're mamish pas Yisrael. The Hamish brands usually tend to be pas Yisrael. Usually it says on it in big bold letters, together with all the other Yiddish things that it says on it. So it's usually pas Yisrael anyway. But the Goyish brands tend to be pas Akam unless they say otherwise. Right, so it won't be pas Yisrael, the same thing. As long as they turn on the oven, right, that would be okay. Even the Sfarim would be making on that. That would be acceptable pas Yisrael.
None of these,
the mashkiach is never there. I mean, the mashkiach on factories is not like a mashkiach in a restaurant. The mashkiach in a restaurant has to be there all the time, or pretty much all the time. The mashkiach in a factory doesn't sit in the middle of Nebraska all day. It means they sign a contract with the factory and they're legally bound by using certain ingredients. And then the mashkiach makes spot checks every once in a while. So it's much more difficult. You could sometimes arrange it. You have a mashkiach, you know, with a cell phone, maybe you could start off the factory. Okay, so sometimes you have those kinds of things. There is a way to perhaps turn something into pas Yisrael, which is used by some establishments. It's called a bowl. That means if you, the din is that, let's say you have a big fire that the goy made, and the Jew throws a little bit more wood into the fire, that's also called pas Yisrael. As long as the Jew is participating in any shape or form, that's called pas Yisrael. So there are some who came up with this idea that if you stick a bulb or some special kind of a bulb or something that gives off some heat into the oven, so the Jew plugs this thing into the oven. I wouldn't take a regular light bulb and put it in an oven, it's going to explode. They have a special bulb that can be put into an oven and it gives off a little bit of heat, a very minuscule amount of heat. You turn an oven out of 500 and a little bit of light bulb now makes it 500 and a half or something. So with some posts going to make that, that's also considered to be pas Yisrael. So certain hashkachas rely on that cooler. Not everyone agrees with that, but there are certain hashkachas that do rely on that cooler. They'll advertise as being pas Yisrael, basing themselves on the fact that device is considered to be a little bit of a participation of a Yisrael. There is
there's some ovens, what about like pizza ovens and certain ovens like that they never turn them on?
But if they were turned on originally by a Jew, then they're all pas Yisrael. Yeah, most pizza stores try to make it pas Yisrael. I can't say for certain every single one is, but it's fairly easy to do, so they usually try to be pas Yisrael. There is a specific food out there that's very, very questionable whether it's pasta, whether it's bishul. Because remember we said that the determining factor whether something is pasta bishul is it something that you would make a motzi on or not. So the chiddush of Tosfos, the chiddush of the Ramah is that even though most of the time you don't make a motzi on it, but if you eat a lot of it, like cookies and cakes, you would make a motzi, that's also called pasta. So what's the status of donuts? A donut closer to the model of bread or closer to the model of cooked food? The problem with donuts is that they're actually not baked. Donuts are a thick dough that's thrown into a big vat of oil. If you've ever seen how donuts are made, there's a reason why they're so terribly unhealthy, because they're mamish dripping and dripping in oil inside. So that's called bishul. So the question is that called bread or not? Something that's cooked, can we really call that bread? So Rabbi Natam seems to think that yes, at least some versions of Rabbi Natam held that even though it's not actually baked, it could still be considered to be like a bread family. And most of the Rishon disagreed. So the halacha, we don't accept that. We assume that donuts are considered to be cooked. If donuts are considered to be cooked, then they run into a very serious problem of bishalachim. So what would the kula be to have donuts? Any Dunkin' Donuts run into this problem of bishalachim? So the answer is, we fall back on what we spoke about in the previous shurim. It's called Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim. The donuts generally are not eaten at fancy meals. The donuts are usually eaten by people on the run. Harai, the two people who eat donuts the most, are cops and truck drivers, because they're people who have to always eat and running somewhere. So we assume that donuts are Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim, and therefore they're permissible. So it comes out that the reason why you can eat Dunkin' Donuts and the reason why you can eat Entenmann's cookies are not the same reason. The reason why you can eat Entenmann's cookies is that because they're pas, and therefore it's pas palter, it's okay. The reason why you can eat donuts is because it's Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim. It'll be enough community between the two, Lagabi Aseres Metshuva. So even though we try to stay away from Entenmann's cookies and cakes, Shulchan Aseres Metshuva, Lechatchila you can eat Dunkin' Donuts, Shulchan Aseres Metshuva. Because the kula of Dunkin' Donuts is a real bona fide kula of the Gemara. It's Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim, and that's the kula that's even good Lechatchila. So Lefini is 90, Dunkin' Donuts are perfectly mutter Shulchan Aseres Metshuva. Entenmann's donuts are not. Because Entenmann's donuts are not deep fried, they're not cooked all together. Entenmann's donuts are just plain piece of a cake with some chocolate frosting on it or something. So again, the kulas of Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim are good Lechatchila, even during Aseres Metshuva, even on Shabbos. So you can have your Dunkin' Donuts on Shabbos, Lechatchila Shul Lechatchila, whereas some of the other Geisha brands of cookies and cakes, which are relying on other coolers, those coolers should be avoided during the Tzitzit Shuvah, maybe even Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Which food would?
Yeah.
A lot of food. Chicken is Olah Shulchan Malachim. Steak is Olah Shulchan Malachim.
Pizza
is probably not Olah Shulchan Malachim, although sometimes they serve in a fancy, like, Milchik restaurant, they can serve
They have to shine on French fries. White House.
French fries.
Yeah,
do they serve it?
Do they serve it? They do.
Yeah. We serve it at weddings. I mean, you don't have to go all the way to the right. Take a look what they think of what they serve at weddings. Yeah. They do serve French fries at weddings. I don't know. Okay, yeah.
Bagels are baked,
because they're baked eventually. Bagels are started off cooked and then they're eventually baked. So they're called pasta. It's pasta, I'm sure. Oh, very good, excellent. So according to most folks, probably not. That the kind of pasta is a little bit different than bishul. And bread, we assume, is always Olah Shulchan Malachim. So it wouldn't be such a kula. Okay, so again, so we talked a little bit about bishul, a little bit about the pasta. And now we're going to move on to another din that appears in the same Mishnah, which is also a goyish kind of a food that has to be avoided. And that's yayin shel akum. The wine of a goy is off limits as well. Why is wine of a goy off limits? So here the Gemara gives actually two reasons. So one of the reasons is part of the same picture we've been talking about up to now, Mishum Vinosei, Mishum Chasnos. You want to try to cut down on the social relationship. But then there's a second reason. The second reason is that it's a chashash of Avodah Zarah. Because since wine was a normal thing that was used by the Goyim to pour on their idols, to pour in front of their idols, so then you're always nervous that if you're going to go buy Goyisha wine, maybe that wine was actually poured for an idol. The odds of that being are probably not so much, so therefore in a hurry, you don't really have to be worried about it. If you know for a fact that this wine was poured to an idol, then that wine is also min haTorah. But if you don't know, so the midaraisa, you can assume it's most probably the robe was, it probably wasn't. But midarabanan, there's a concern, maybe it was. So for two different reasons, Chazal prohibited wine that was either produced by Goyim, or even if it's Jewish wine that was touched but handled by Goyim, that would also pose a problem. So this is what we call halacha stam yenam. There are actually two different terms. There's what's called yayin nesach and the stam yenam. Yayin nesach means wine that you know for a fact was poured for an idol. So that's, again, that's traced with the raisa. But something that you don't know for a fact, but just it was made by a goy, touched by a goy, so that's considered to be stam yenam, and that's also for these two reasons. Why do we need two reasons? Why isn't the first reason enough? So the Rishonim explained that if it would only been based on the reason of chasnus, then we wouldn't have made it aseh b'hanah. Bishul acham is mutter b'hanah. Pas acham is mutter b'hanah. You're allowed to derive benefit from food cooked by goyim. So it would have been enough just to declare that it's aseh to drink. The reason why it's even more chomer, Stam Yenim is more chomer than Bishul Acham, is because it has the added component of Avodah Zarah connected to it, and therefore that would be a problem, and therefore it's also even Banah. So the Maisa, if you have wine that has the status of Stam Yenim, it's also both Bishti as well as Banah.
What about non-Jewish people?
Okay, we're talking about details about this. So, these two dimensions, this dual aspect of the Issa, that it's also both Vishtiya Uvahana'a, so that's a question whether that applies to this man as that. So there are more quotes from some Rishonim would say that B'medivam Amurim, that the second part of the Issa applies, that's when there's a real concern of Avodah Zarah. But if you're living in a society where the Goyim don't pour wine to idols anymore, so then maybe the second Issa doesn't apply. So there are more quotes where some Rishonim are willing to be Mekil, that this man has there, Stam Yenam is also, the reason of Chasla still applies, so you can't drink the Goyisha wine, but in order to prohibit it by Hanah, so maybe one has the right to be Mekil. So there are more rights that people used to be Mekil, like this in Europe, is Shasat Chak. What was the Shasat Chak? So sometimes they say a Jew would lend money to a Goy or something. The Goy owed the Jew a lot of money, and the Goy didn't have anything to pay back with, but the Goy had a bunch of barrels of wine. So he would try to pass off his tray for wine onto the Jew and say, okay, listen, I can't give you back the $1,000 that I owe you. Take two, three barrels of wine in lieu of payment. So if you hold that the wine is Mutzabana, I can't do that because I'm not allowed to use it, I'm not allowed to sell it. If you hold that the wine is Mutzabana, then I can take it from the guy and sell it to another guy. So there are more rights than in Europe. They used to be makel on this because they held that the Ikamika Redin, it wasn't a problem. So then there's a further question in the post game. Is this like a Lechatchila Kula or like a Shasachah Kula? Like Nebuch, the Ramo is makel for Nebuch, the Jew's going to lose his money, the guy's not going to pay back otherwise. So Nebuch, to save the Jew, is Parnosa, so we're makel. What about, it's not such a big Shasat Chak. So we have the Shasat all the time. I get the Shasat about 20 times a year. It's always the same week of the year. It's always the last week of December. Why? Because all the offices have all these parties and people give each other gifts, etc. So a guy goes and gives or a non-from Jew gives a from person a bottle of wine as a gift. A very expensive, tray for a bottle of wine. So what's he going to do with it? So he obviously can't drink it because it's straight. It's also the Rabbanan. So what's he going to do with it? So he wants to give it off to another gift, to another co-worker. So that's a problem. If something is Asa Bana, giving a gift to somebody that's Asa Bana, that's called being Nana from the Dabra Asa Bana. Because when I give a gift to somebody, he's going to be friendly to me in return. So if you hold that the wine is Asa Bana, that would be a problem. If you hold the wine is Mutbana, that would be okay. So that comes to Shiloh. Do we have a right in the Chetchilah or the Chetchilah to rely on this cool of the Ramah? Should we say maybe it's only when it's a real Shasar Chak, it's not such a Shasar Chak? So there are different opinions about this. Remember, somebody once asked me a Shiloh, that they had a business meeting with some very wealthy person, and they knew that this person was a big wine drinker, and they thought, they were told that a good way to get the business deal to be closed was if you bring him a nice fancy schmancy expensive bottle of wine, so that'll help you. So he wanted to buy like just like $500 bottle of a tray for wine. Not that he was going to drink it. The other guy was a guy. He's going to give it to him as a gift, and the guy's going to drink it. So he wanted to know whether that was acceptable or not. So I don't know too much about wine, so I naively said, why don't you just buy him a very expensive kosher bottle of wine? So he laughed at me, he said, come on, Rabbi, he said, it's all very cute, all the nice, fancy, schmancy kosher wines, but there's nothing like the real Italian wine, the real French wine, the real McCoy, the stuff that's made by the Goyim, that's significantly better than the sparkling stuff for $5 that you get in the Teaneck wine store or something. So he wanted to know if he could do it or not. So I said to him, I don't know, it's a shy, it's not so posh. So I said, it's a big machoik, it's a big shiloh, whether that would be appropriate or not. So he said he doesn't want to take any risk, any shilohs, so he's not gonna buy the tray for bottle of wine. He never told me afterwards whether he closed the deal or not. That part he didn't tell me, but he was machoik, he didn't want to rely on the school of the Ramah.
What
you want to
do if there's
a shiloh? That's the shiloh. So those who want to be on their Ramah, they just give it off as a gift to a guy. You want to be machoik, throw it in the garbage. Or you could put it in a place that Hefker only Goyim are going to get it. If you think a Jew may get it, then you shouldn't put it there. If you put it in a Mokom Hefker, nobody knows that you put it there, so that's not called being Nana.
It seems kind of interesting that the Isra of Nana comes from the Avodah Zarah component of the Yayin, but if you think about it, it's a much bigger problem than Bishul Acham or Pasach Acham in terms of Isra marriage. Going in and drinking.
Right, that's much more about that. Right, that's right.
With the non Jew,
right, much better. Right, that's right.
That's right.
Right. But the Rishonim explained, right, you're right. The Rishonim explained that the added Hanoah dimension was really more of the Avodah Zarah. Right. Actually, part of the source of the Yisra is this is Pasha, in the Pasha's Minchas. So Chazal say in the Masechet Sanhedrin that how did the Benos Moav, how did they get Klai Yisrael to violate Baal Peor? So they convinced them to come into and have a drink together. So when they started to drink together, that led one thing led to another. So then the whole office thinks, nice to meet. So then I thought, well, yeah, I think so. Yeah. So the Gemara.
Housekeeper alone in the house with open bottles of non-kosher wine.
Then we're afraid she may touch the wine. That's the problem. Right. So the Gemara says the second back of Avodah Zarah that this Isser of Stav Yedem doesn't apply to all kind of wine. That Yayin Mevusha was excluded from this Kazera. That the wine was already pre-cooked. It's not included. Why is that? So there are different reasons in the Rishonim why that's true. Some Rishonim say because it's what's called the Milsad Lo Shchicha. In the days of Chazal, when they made this Gezerah, it was so uncommon to cook wine, because usually cooking wine ruins the wine a little bit, so it was so bizarre to cook wine, and Chazal didn't make Gezerahs on funny kinds of strange things. Others give other reasons why, maybe the Yayin Mevusha, the Goyim wine, can use it for Avodah Zarah, people don't consider it to be very chashuv. One of the reasons is, the bottom line is, that the Gemara says that Yayin Mevusha is permissible. So the question is, how does that play out as man is there? What is the halakh equivalent today of Yayin Mevusha? So in the olden days, Yayin Mevusha meant you took a bottle of wine, poured it into a pot, and turned on the fire and cooked it up for an hour. That was Yayin Mevusha. Nobody today does such a silly thing. We do Yayin Mevusha in a very, very different way in the factories. So we'll get you up and talk about next week about what that means, about how practically Yayin Mevusha plays out today, and whether Yayin Mevusha really even applies, whether that cooler, the way it's played out today, is actually even applicable with Manazah. I bet you next year we'll continue. Okay, I imagine Sunday will probably be a different schedule for some time. I imagine it probably won't be a Shia.